What is that noise?
It's my sack of nuts.
Sorry, your what?
My sack of macadamia nuts I bought with me as a healthy snack.
Where do you get macadamia nuts from? Aren't they expensive and hard to come by?
They come from one of my favorite places in the world, South Africa, and they are sold through House of Macadamia.
That's incredible, but you go through all of that for nuts?
These are not just any nut. House of Macadamia offers a variety of flavors, including chocolate, coconut, and even a spicy flavor. They even have macadamia nut oil, snack bars, and spreads. Best of all, they're high in protein, they're vegan, they're paleo, and they're keto friendly.
Wow, what did you say the name of that company was again?
House of Macadamia. And best of all, Curve Mundial listeners can subscribe to my personalized box and try their subscription service and see what I'm raving about. Farmers in South Africa get a piece of the pie, macadamia nuts become more available, and you can taste and try different flavors and items. So just go to anchor.fm/curva-mundial and click on the link, which will take you right to my personalized box on House of Macadamia. Also, by ordering from Curva Mundial's special curated subscription box, you get 15% off and a free 4-pack of snack bars are also included.
That's great.
Even better, sales from Curva Mundial's curated House of Macadamia subscription service help fund this podcast. So really, everybody wins.
So all I have to do is go to anchor.fm/curva-mundial and click on the link, which will take me right to your personalized box on House of Macadamia?
Yep. It's that easy. Also, I didn't mention, but Curva Mundial's subscription box comes with free shipping.
Just by going to anchor.fm/curva-mundial and clicking the link, and I get all of this? Sounds like a one-of-a-kind snack and a one-of-a-kind deal to me. Are you a footballer that finds their feet slipping and sliding inside their boots during a match? If so, Curva Mundial has a great solution for you. We've partnered with Technogrip Socks to bring you an exclusive offer on their new Featherlite Grip Socks. Technogrip Socks are different because they provide breathable comfort and next-level grip, but without the annoying bumps or thick and spongy material of traditional grip socks. Designed for athletes seeking sleek performance, Technogrip Socks are specially engineered with a unique grip yarn knitted into key areas of the sock, providing superior control without the bulk. They're lightweight and moisture wicking with midsole compression, so your feet feel great in both practice and games. If you've been wearing grip socks, these are radically different and will take a little getting used to, but once you make the switch, you'll never look back. Head on over to technogrip.com. That's TEQNIGRIP.com and use code CURVA15 for 15% off your first order. Again, head to technogrip.com and use code CURVA15 for a 15% discount. You'll thank us later. Welcome to Curva Mundial.
Hello, and welcome to the Season 8 premiere of Curva Mundial. I am your host, Sal Bono, and I am so proud and excited to kick off this next season and introduce our first guest. He's a former player of Manchester United, Fiorentina, Parma, Villarreal, Genoa, Spal, Levante, Real Salt Lake, Celta, and Newcastle, as well as the Italian national team. He is also a pundit on CBS Sports, as well as the host and creator of the podcast, Pepito's Take, and the head of the Giuseppe Rossi Academy. Please welcome to the show, the one and only Giuseppe Rossi.
Sal, how are you, man? Thanks for having me.
Oh, ciao, Beppe. Thank you so much for coming on. Really means a lot.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You know, again, it really means so much coming on because you're a player I've long admired, as your story is not only just a real life Rocky Balboa, it is one that I think every Italian-American guy, whenever they dream of aspirations of playing for the beautiful game, they think of putting on the Azzurri jersey and they look at you. And I know I do. I did. That's our guy. You know, your story starts off in Northern New Jersey playing calcio at a local level before going to Parma in your youth career. But what was it like leaving home and essentially leaving your teenage years behind to pursue this dream like so many other kids?
Listen, man, it was tough. It was tough just because, you know, leaving at 12 years old, you had to go in a new world, new culture, new people. I'm not going to say new language because obviously I grew up with the Italian language, but more of like a dialect type of language, you know, that's what was present in my home a lot. So the Italian language, yes, I knew it, but I didn't have it perfected. So everything was new, man. Everything was new. But, you know, the dream was to try and be the best soccer player I could be at 12 years old. It wasn't about being professional or not, because you're 12 years old. You have no idea what, you know, what you want to do. But it was just to see, all right, let's go be the best player that I could be 12 years old, right? And I didn't want to let my pops down, right? My pops was very happy about this, and he was asking me, okay, it's up to you, it's up to you. But, like, deep down, I'm like, hey, listen, I mean, I got to show my pops that I could do it. You know what I mean? Like, I could really do it. And I did that, even though the first month and a half, man, I was crying. I was crying myself to bed because I missed my mom, I missed my sister. It was just me and my father went. But, you know, soccer was actually the thing that kind of kept me happy. It was like a nice safe zone for me. Soccer is an international language, right? So it's not like I needed to do something different. I was the best player on the team in the games that we were playing. So that kind of helped me, you know, get friends, talk to people, and gain the respect at such a young age. And that was the start of it. That was the start of it. It all got better after a month and a half when my mom came to visit. It was like I saw the Pope. You know what I mean? It was like, mother, best feeling ever. It was the best feeling ever. That month and a half felt like it was like 5 years. But yeah, after that, I saw my mom. She stayed for like 10 days, and it was all uphill. There you go.
I love it. You know, and you were doing this at a time pre-social media, pre-smartphone, pre-Skype, pre all these like fun things that we have now, like how you and I are communicating. So it's almost, there's a whole different degree that I don't think people understand now, or younger generation could understand now. It's like, well, why didn't you just FaceTime mom? It's like, well, that didn't exist then. So like, yeah. Having that barrier, did that make it harder?
Definitely. It definitely was. Obviously, yeah, you call, but it's different when you're able to like see the face and you're able to see the emotions and just, you know, see what they're doing, because you're carrying the phone around. Hey, Ma, look what I'm doing and everything. Right. So it was different. Today you feel more present in the person's life just because of the way that we could communicate. But back in the day, no, not really. She was very distant. I heard her voice, but she was very distant. So that's what made it even, you know, harder for me and for my father. But it made me grow up fast, man. It made me grow up fast. I had to be a little man at 12, at 13, and learn a lot and learn a lot. I was lucky enough to have had my father by my side. But when I was in school or when I was in training, you know, it was just me trying to figure out ways to fit in, ways to find friends, ways to feel comfortable in that environment. So yeah, man, it was definitely a tough experience, but truthfully, I wouldn't change it for the world.
That's incredible. And then that tough experience got a little more difficult, because after 4 years at Parma, you went to Manchester United to work on the Sir Alex, the tactician of tacticians. Yeah. What was he like in making that move from Italy, where, as you said, you spoke dialect, but you learned the Italian language, but at least like that's your culture, right? And like it felt a little more homely than probably cold, wet Manchester, England. So what was it like going from there and then working under probably one of the most strict people to ever manage the game?
It was a blessing, man. It was a blessing. I still remember when I first knew that they were interested in me. It was after a Primavera game. The Primavera is like the second team of the club, basically, right? So that was the Primavera. I was already playing at 16 at Parma on the second team. This dude, at the end of the training session, stops me. He's like, hey, do you know who I work for? I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, just give me your hand and I'm going to drop a pin in your hand, and that's the team that I work for. I'm like, all right, whatever. I look at him like Manchester. I'm like, Manchester United? He's like, yes, we're very interested. Bro, my heart was racing. I didn't want to show so much emotion, but my heart was just, I couldn't wait to go to the car and show my pops. So that was how I understood that Manchester United was interested in me. You know, it took a month to negotiate. It didn't really take that long. Sign a contract, and then we're out. First training session, I get to Carrington. The first person who opens up the door for me is Ryan Giggs. I'm like, what? Like, you know, Ryan Giggs, bro. Like, that's somebody that my father loved watching. he idolized them, and I was like, just looking, I'm like, you crazy, bro? This is where we're at. We go into obviously meet Sir Alex Ferguson, and yeah, like you said, right, very strict, all this and all that. The nicest guy you'll meet off the field,
really, the
off the field. He treats his players like precious jewels. Like, don't touch your players. I'm gonna protect you. I'm gonna make sure that I'm gonna give you guys the best opportunity to be the best player you can. In the meantime, right, let's stay true to this culture that I've built, meaning Ferguson, right, that I've built. And, you know, respect the game, respect the team, respect us, and, you know, you'll be part of the family. So every day I made sure that I understood the assignment, that I understood, you know, how to behave if it was in the cafeteria, if it was in the changing room, you know, making sure that being a young kid, I had to clean up the gym. Being a young kid, I had to wash, you know, the guy's boots. So it was, you know, it was all part of the culture. And I bought in, you know, obviously I was young, so I had to gain the respect of the players. But, you know, playing soccer, I was good at it. So that wasn't the problem on the field. And off the field also, just because I was staying true to what the Manchester United culture was. And learning as I said before, right, life is a learning process. You have to put yourself with the right mindset to attack any situation that's in front of you, right? And in this case was learning the English culture, learning that they eat beans with toast and they add sugar to it. You believe that crap? Beans so I had to get used to that, and I had to get used to that and watch them, you know, do that and not make a comment because it was the most disgusting thing ever. So yeah, there you go.
Were you there at the time with Tim Howard?
Yeah, Tim was there.
So like, did it feel a little better knowing that there's another American from the metropolitan area, at least like, oh, okay, like there's at least a connection there. I could probably become friends with this guy. And in a room full of, as you mentioned earlier, Giggs, Rio Ferdinand was probably there at that time, Van der Sar, like all these icons that were playing. Like, did you feel that you and Tim had like a little bit of a common ground?
Yeah, it did help a little bit. It did help a little bit knowing that he was from Jersey. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And he's from Jersey. So there was a little connection there, but I was still very young. Tim was actually doing very well. He started, but then Van der Sar came. So he came, he played as a second goalkeeper, but he was very well respected in the changing room. I think the year prior when I arrived, he had an amazing season. So that was great to have a figure like him in there for me. You know, sometimes we would play basketball at Carrington. I remember he was shooting a commercial. He's like, yo, just take shots at me so I could dive. And I was like, yeah, no problem. You know, I was like, it's prop. So I even got paid, which was great. I never saw a non-soccer check in my life. So that was my first check that I saw that wasn't soccer related. So yeah, it was good to have him. I was able also to form a lot of relationships with kids from the reserve team, because when I was 17, I was going in and out of first team. So the kids from the reserve team were cool. PK was one of them because we came to the same, during, you know, the same time. So we hung out a lot. Like a lot of the foreigners, right? He was Spanish, I was Italian. We had a Belgian kid, Florida buddy, and Galula. We had another German, right? Marcus Neumeier. So the foreigners kind of like, you know, stuck by each other. And that was a little click.
That's awesome. You know, I'm not going to go into the length of your career because you've talked about it ad nauseum on Pepito's Take, which is amazing. We're going to talk about Pepito's Take because that came about after you face something that every player has to face and no one wants to face, but the reality of that's retirement.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you to come into the idea of this is it, I'm hanging up my boots? Because again, you remind me of Rocky Balboa in so many aspects because of just the heart, the never give up attitude. But like those Rocky movies, they sort of just like, oh, is this the last one? And then you came back and you went to Real Salt Lake. Oh, is this the last one? Oh, you're at Spal. Oh, is this the last one? Oh, no, you're at Spal again. So, but then finally you decide, this is it. Like, this is it. I owe it to my wife, my kids, my children. Like, now it's time, you know. What was it like coming to that decision in a time when, after a career when everybody told you from the media that you should have retired ages ago, but you came back like a phoenix, better and stronger and faster and more kick-ass than ever before?
Listen, it was the hardest decision I ever had to make, harder than leaving at 12 years old to go play at Parma. It was rough because soccer is my life, man. Soccer is all I know. Since 2 years old, my pops put those cones in the backyard, fell in love with the game, sacrificed all my life for it. But not only me, you know, my parents, my family, my sister, they all played a huge, huge part in my career. They were there for me in the down moments. Obviously, they're there for in the up moments. But, you know, when you're in those crappy situations, you know, all these injuries that did happen to me, I needed that support. They were there. So that was something, you know, on their part that they gave me, and they sacrificed everything. They put their emotions to the side in order to make me feel, you know, right. So the only way that I could repay them was to never, ever give up on the dream. So that's what always made me push extra, right? Not only was it my dream, but it was my family's dream. And that was that extra motivation to always get back and being the best that I could be after every injury. Just like you said, many people doubted me. So it was always good to have that chip on my shoulder to come back and prove people wrong. But then it just came to a time where is the sacrifice worth it anymore, right? Me playing the game, I always wanted to be the best player that I could be, right? Best player on the field, best player in the league, best everything. That was the motivation that I had. But sometimes things happen to you, and it goes a little bit far away. You're seeing it too much in the distance, right? But unfortunately, I'm getting older, so the time is very short in order to reach that. So I came to the realization that it wasn't worth it anymore, right? To continue to sacrifice, you know, to put my family to the side and think about my career at 36, 37. I have a 3-year-old, and I want to now spend time with her, which I am. You know, my wife has always been by my side, and it's always been about me. And now, you know, I just want to make sure that it's about her too.
Sure.
And listen, playing in Serie B is not for me, unfortunately, right? It's not the level that I dreamed about playing. The last year, I wanted to come back and just finish on the field. I didn't want to finish off the field, meaning I was injured at 35. I got injured. I was out for 5 months, and I didn't want to be like, yeah, I'm just going to hang them up. I didn't want to go out like that. I wanted to have my own destiny in my own hands, which was me playing, being on the field, and leaving the game the right way. So that's why I decided to come back, and that's what I did. And I'm very proud of, you know, all these achievements of coming back, man. You know, it's always hard to come back from, you know, crappy situations, but I did it. It's a story that I'll tell my little girl, and I hope that she'll one day learn from that her father went through.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I got a couple more questions for you. You know, one thing that you've done and keeping busy in retirement, you start your academy, which we mentioned earlier, pundit for CBS Sports. But then, of course, fellow podcaster now. Welcome to the world of the nerds. You did it. But you get super candid about your life and career, as well as let fans into your world. What is it like for you to be so vulnerable and telling these stories? Like, there's a story that you tell of Lippi at the 2010 South Africa World Cup. Like, there's so many stories and things that you have given us, that all these behind the scenes things that you sit here and go, my God, I thought you went through so much, but you went through so much more that I didn't know about.
Yeah. Just like you said, there's a lot of things that I never talked about and that I never said in public, because I didn't think it was the right time to do so while I'm playing. I've always been a reserved guy too. I never wanted to be too much in the news or in the media to create a lot of controversy. So I kind of just kept to myself and used that as fuel, right? Just use that as motivation. So retire, I got nothing to do. I was like, you know what? Let me get into the podcast game. Let me see if this works. Let me see if it's something that I like. So I'm still learning. I'm still figuring out if it's something that I want to do. But when I'm in front of the camera and I'm talking, it's a good therapy session for me. Like literally, it really is a good therapy session because a lot of things that I want to talk about, a lot of feelings that I have, you know, towards certain things that happened in my career. And the first season of my podcast is literally that, right? A lot of stories, a lot of things that I went through that maybe some people don't know or they wanted to know more about. And now I'm on season two of my podcast where it's just more about, you know, having an opinion on whatever is happening around the soccer world, right? Maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying something stupid that I don't like Juventus. But I never said that before because I didn't want to, because it wasn't the right thing to do. But now that I have a platform, I'll be like, you know what? I'm not a big fan of Juventus. So that's something, cool. Now let's see.
I knew I liked you, Joe.
We're on the same boat. A lot of respect. A lot of respect.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that's something that I do want to pursue. I'm not really a guy to be in front of the cameras and talk like that, but I don't know, man. We'll see. Something new, new life. I got to figure out what it is. Throw something on the wall, see what sticks, right?
That's it. You know, there is no shame in trying. And that you know, that's what I think. Like, everyone's like so afraid these days of doing things that like, oh, I'm going to fail in front of all these people. Well, yeah, you might not. Like, and if you don't, that's actually a lot better. And if you do, that's fine. Again, and you're a testament to that. Pick yourself back up, do it again, or try something else, like reconfigure.
Exactly. It's already like the wrong mindset that you're going into thinking that you're going to fail. It's just a matter of time when it will happen. But I was never like that. So the teachings that I've had during my career, I'm bringing it now in this second life of mine, and find something that I love, and just take it by storm any way possible. So that's the plan.
Now time for a coffee break.
Curva Mundial is sponsored by Mod Cup Coffee in Jersey City, but you can get it anywhere in the world from modcup.com. Mod Cup, drink modern coffee. Use code MUNDIAL for 10% off your first order.
Giuseppe, I got three rapid fire questions for you that I ask every guest. I'm going to tailor make them to you. And we're going to go and ask right now, if there was a former player, a retired player that you wish you could have played with, alive or dead, who would it have been and why?
I would say Messi. Messi only because, well, he's not a former player. You said former player.
Yeah, I did say former. So that's my next question is, all right, so we're going to switch it around.
Sorry, my fault.
You're an active player today. Who would it be and why?
Player will be Messi only because I feel like the way that he reads the game and the way that he's able to see the game is similar to the way that that I do too. And I did have the opportunity to go play with Barca, but Villarreal never sold me. And that was a shame just because it would have been amazing to have played with him alongside, you know, the Iniestas and the Xavis.
What was it like playing against him though? Sorry, I'm full of shit. I lied to you. Now I have a follow-up question. What was it like playing against him?
Against him. It was tough. So listen, he's a striker, I'm a striker.
Yeah.
I never like really go against him. But only this one I was in the beginning of my career with Villarreal, and it was a corner kick, a short corner kick. They passed it to him. I go, obviously, I'm the short corner kick. And I'm like, all right, this guy's lefty. I'm gonna bait him to go left, and then I'm gonna just boom, poke it out. This dude does exactly what I want him to do, goes left, but his feet were so quick that it was pa pa pa. And I'm like, whoa. And I had to like, and listen, I was quick back in the day, but this guy was like pa pa pa. And I'm like, what? And I had to like chase. I was like, this is crazy. So that's when I got my first glimpse of him. I think one other time I got close to him, I didn't put my foot out. I just tried to keep him in front of me, and that's it. So the defenders I have to go that went against them, you know, every single for 90 minutes was definitely rough.
Wow. All right. So now, former player, alive or dead, who would it be and why that you wish you could play with?
Former player, I will go with Marco Van Basten. Marco Van Basten, because first of all, he was my idol growing up. He was one of my idols growing up. And then second, the way that he played would complement the way that I played very well, because he was, you know, he was the big guy up front, very technical. He understood the game a lot, but he wouldn't take a lot of space away from from the spaces that I wanted to move into. So we would have definitely complement each other very well.
Oh, man, if there's a time machine to have Giuseppe Rossi and Marco Van Basten play in the 89 Sacchi Milan side.
Tell me about it.
The Flying Dutchman and Giuseppe Rossi. Oh man, how many more trophies would he have won? Oh, and finally, what has been your favorite moment as a fan of this game, whether it's a player or a spectator?
My favorite moment. I mean, I'm always gonna say, as a player, it's obviously my debut. But my debut was just like the best thing ever, man. At Manchester United, 17 years old, 70,000 people out there. My legs were shaking. I still remember my feelings during that time. Legs shaking. The first ball that I get was a ball that's on the 18. It's up in the air. I'm about to swing it, and I literally just missed the ball. I missed the ball. I didn't touch it, but I made sure that I ran back to get the ball and then pass it off to my teammate. And then all the fans were like applauding. I'm like, they're applauding me going. They're applauding me because I hustled to the ball and got it back. So that was my first impact with the real soccer world, the professional world. So I'm always, always, always going to say that.
Okay. This is the final question. What was it like finally putting on the Azzurri jersey and then making your debut for the national side then? I can't let you go without asking that. I want to know what that feels like, man.
I don't blame you. Listen, that shirt weighs like 100 pounds, right? That shirt weighs 100 pounds, man. It was a dream come true. Since I was, young, I watched the Italian national team play. I went to see the World Cup in 94. Fell in love, a lot with the national team. Baggio being the guy that he was in 94. So, like, I was very into it. And then I had the possibility finally of putting on the first team shirt. And it was the best moment ever, man. I remember it was against Bulgaria and Sofia, however you want to call it.
Yeah, Sofia, yeah.
So that was one of the best moments also of my career. It's different, man. It's different. When you represent millions and millions and not just the clubs, but you represent like those Italians, right? And I remember after the game getting a lot of messages, getting a lot of calls about the Italian-American community back home. And how everybody was just like, yeah, bro, how everybody was just so like proud and happy. And I'm like, oh, bro, this feels so good. Like, it feels so good. And I never wanted to. Every time you're with a national team, it has nothing to do with Giuseppe Rossi. It has everything to do with that shirt. So awesome feeling being on that national team.
Oh, I love it. Giuseppe, you represented all of us and everybody from the Italian diaspora around the world and every dream that we ever had. More in your legs. So thank you for thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on here and telling some stories. And come back anytime, man.
I love it. Thanks, Alec. I truly appreciate it.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Curva Mundial Pod. Thanks for listening. Curva Mundial listeners can get 20% off their next order at Football Devotion. For football designs with a difference, head over to footballdevotion.com and use code CURVA for 20% off your order. That's code CURVA.